Scripture alone. Our rule for faith and life is Scripture alone. Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 52, if you would like to join along in your own Bible or a pew Bible. Isaiah 52, beginning with verse 7. Before we read God's word, let's go to him once again in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-gracious God, since all our salvation depends upon your holy word, therefore grant that our hearts may be set free from worldly things, so that we may with all diligence and faith hear your word, rightly understand your gracious will, and in all sincerity live according to the same, to your praise and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Isaiah 52, beginning with verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, your waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from Acts chapter 10. Beginning with verse 34 as we continue our study of Acts. We are in the middle of a pivotal chapter in the book of Acts, chapter 10. Prior to Acts chapter 10, the good news of Jesus is proclaimed. The good news of Jesus is preached, witnessed to Jews, to descendants of Abraham, to God's covenant people, to those who were gifted the law and the prophets and the sign of circumcision. The message to God's covenant people was that the God of Abraham, the God who gave the law, the God who spoke to the prophets, has come in the flesh in Jesus, the crucified and resurrected Messiah. And so many believed. Many Jews came to faith in Jesus, and the church grew. But at that time, the church was made of Jews. Jews who followed Jesus. Jews who belonged to the way. But God's plan was greater. God's desire, God's heart was that Gentiles, non-Jews, those outside of God's covenant people, would also belong to him. Would know Jesus Christ and become part of the church. So the gospel, the good news of Jesus, would go to Gentiles and would go to Gentiles to the end of the earth. And it started with Peter, the Apostle Peter, leader of the early church. In last week's passage that Andrew looked at, God spoke to Peter in a vision. And Peter's vision was of animals, all these animals on a sheet, animals that God's law forbade Jews to eat. And if Jews ate these forbidden animals, they would be unclean. They would be unclean before God. They would be unable to worship God because they were unclean. And in order to be cleansed, they would have to offer sacrifices in the temple. Now, in this vision of all these animals that God's people were forbidden to eat, God told Peter to eat. Now, why would God contradict his own law? Well, he didn't. He was pointing to the reality of what his son had accomplished. He was pointing to the reality of what Jesus had done. Jesus had made clean. Jesus' death had cleansed. No longer were sacrifices needed to make clean. Jesus was the sacrifice. He was the once-for-all sacrifice. In Jesus, through faith in Jesus, you're clean. You're cleansed. Cleansed in the sight of God. Therefore, no food can make you unclean. No food can make you unclean. But God's point here wasn't just food, it was people. Jews considered Gentiles unclean. Jews did not associate with non-Jews because it would make them unclean. And God was telling Peter, no, no more. Jesus changed all of that. In Jesus, everything is new. And so Peter was sent to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman, non-Jew. He was a Gentile. He was a centurion. He was a Roman centurion who feared God, who prayed to God, who received a vision from God to send for a man named Peter. Our passage picks up with verse 34, Acts 10, beginning with verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him up on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, for the first time, Peter was in the home of a Gentile. He was in the home of a non-Jew. And he was there out of obedience to the Father. But he wasn't exactly sure what was going to happen. For the very first time, Cornelius welcomed a Jew into his home. He had invited him out of obedience to the Father. But he was not exactly sure what was going to happen. But Cornelius knew whatever it was going to be important. It was going to be vital. He knew that Peter had some kind of message from God, a potentially life-changing message, a transformational message. So Cornelius gathered all of his family. He invited his close friends to his home to welcome Peter and to see what God was going to do. To hear. Well, Peter looked upon his first Gentile congregation, his first non-Jew audience, and Peter did just what God had called him to do. He did just what Jesus had sent him to do, to be a witness. In other words, to point to Jesus, to proclaim Jesus, to preach Jesus. So Peter begins his sermon by summarizing how he got there. Listen to verse 34 again. Peter says, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality." God shows no partiality. Well, the Greek word translated partiality conveys an image. And this image is of one bowed before God, bowed down before his throne, face down in homage before the Lord. And God receives face, or lifts up the face of the one who is bowed down before him. No partiality. God lifts up the face of one bowed down before him. Peter, in just this one word, Peter is relating what God had taught him, that God makes no distinction according to race, that God makes no distinction according to nationality, that God makes no distinction according to ethnicity, that God will lift up faces from any land. But God can only lift up the faces of those who are bowed down. Then Peter uplifts two characteristics of those who are bowed down. Listen to verse 35 again. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. So those two characteristics are fearing God and doing what is right. Fearing God and doing what is right. Fearing God is not being afraid of God, as in you want to run and hide from God. Fearing God is recognizing God for who he is, recognizing God as the living God, the creator, our creator, the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, the one who holds the march of time and history in his hands, the final judge before whom we will one day stand. Fearing God is a holy fear. It's reverence. And if you fear God, if you revere God, then you're going to want to live as he desires. You're going to want to do right. But you can only do right if you fear God. And you can only fear God if you know God. So really the question is, how do you know God? How do you know God? Well, God has to reveal himself. God has to show you who he is. And there are two ways that God reveals himself. And the first is creation. God reveals himself in creation. God reveals himself in the sky above, in the sunrise and the sunset, in the moon at night, in the stars and the planets, in the rain, in the seasons. God reveals himself in the earth below, mountains and rivers and streams and oceans and trees and flowers and shrubs and every living thing that fills them. The beauty, the creativity, the diversity, the wonder of creation points to a creator. God is creator. But he's also more. He is creator, but he's more. Creation only gets you so far. Creation does not get you to God's heart. But Scripture does. Scripture does. The Bible does. That's the second way. Creation and the Bible. And the Bible is about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is how you know God. Jesus Christ is how you know God's heart for you, how you know God's love for you, how you know his will for your life. Jesus Christ reveals God because he is God. Now, Cornelius the centurion, he knew about God. Cornelius feared God, but Cornelius didn't have the whole picture. But God wanted Cornelius to see. God wanted Cornelius to know him. Cornelius needed to hear about Jesus. And that's why God sent Peter to Cornelius. In verse 36, Peter gives a summary of the gospel to Cornelius and to everybody else who is in that house. Peter gives a summary of the gospel to you. Listen to verse 36. Peter says, "As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." Well, the gospel is good news. And the good news of Jesus is one of peace. Peace. Peace with God. Peace with the Father. Which means this, Outside of Jesus, there is war. Outside of Jesus, there is war. Outside of Jesus, there is war with God. Outside of Jesus, there is rebellion against God. And this is true without making a declaration. And here's what I mean. You can be at war with God. You can be in rebellion against God without knowing it, without being aware of it. How is that? Well, that is when you live life with no thought of God. Living life with no thought of God. Or if you do think about God, it's a God who fits in your life or molds to your life and doesn't really make many demands on your life. In other words, you compartmentalize God. So you only think about God on Sundays or other convenient times. So living life without thought of God means that you are living as you wish. Means that you are doing what you want, doing what you like, doing what you feel. It's your life. It's your time. It's your money. It's your body. But when you are doing it your own way, with no thought of God, you are not bowing down. When you are doing it your own way with no thought of God, there's no fear. And if you're not bowing down, then God cannot lift up your face. If you're not bowing down, God cannot lift up your face. Why? Because you're already up. You're already trying to stand on your own two feet without God, turned away from God, striving against God, running from God, in rebellion, at war, sinning, not living as God desires you to live, not living as God designed you to live. And God designed you and desires you to live in love. And love is focused outside of yourself. Love is focused on God, and love is focused on your neighbor. But we are usually blind to our sin because we're so focused on ourselves. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is blindness to sin. And so we don't see our rebellion. We don't see our war. But Peter says the gospel is this, that Jesus brings peace. Jesus brings peace. He ends the war. How does Jesus end the war? He ends the war by opening your eyes. Jesus opens your eyes to God. And when your eyes are open to God, your eyes are open to yourself. And then you can see your sin. Then you can see your brokenness. Jesus Christ allows you to truly see, that there is a God. And that I am not living as He desires. I'm not living as He designed. I'm living as I desire. In rebellion. And that rebellion has created a gulf. That rebellion has created a separation to God. But Jesus Christ has made a way because He is the way. Jesus Christ took upon Himself your sin, and He received your punishment for sin. He received your judgment from God for rebellion. He received your judgment from God for war. Death and hell by hanging on a tree. Crucifixion. But through Jesus Christ, you have peace. Through Jesus Christ, you have peace with God. And you have that peace with God by faith. By faith. After Peter told everybody in Cornelius's house about Jesus, Peter says this in verse 43. Listen to verse 43 again. Everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. Everybody who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins in his name. Forgiveness for everyone, Peter says. No matter what race, no matter what nationality, no matter what ethnicity, forgiveness for everyone through belief. Faith in Jesus. And in that forgiveness, you're no longer at war. In that forgiveness that you receive by faith, you're no longer at war. And you can bow before the Father, face down before the Father, recognizing who he is, recognizing what he has done for you, and recognizing who you are and what you have done against him. And he will lift up your face. He will lift up your face. Because through Jesus, you're no longer an enemy. You are no longer an enemy, but you are a child. You're a daughter. You're a son of the living God who can look upon him. Now, before Peter was even finished with his sermon, while he was still speaking, he got interrupted. His sermon got interrupted. Listen to verse 44. Verse 44. The Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. Peter got interrupted by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God fell upon Cornelius. The Spirit of God fell upon his family. The Spirit of God fell upon his friends. The Spirit of God opened their eyes. The Spirit made the work of Jesus effectual in their hearts, made it real in their hearts. They believed. They received peace. The Father lifted up their faces. And we're told that just like on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in tongues. They spoke in other languages. They praised God. They extolled God. And the Jews that were with Peter were amazed. God really doesn't show partiality. Peter spoke these words. Peter said, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And of course, the answer is no. No. Baptism is a sign that points to cleansing. Just as water cleanses the body, Jesus cleanses the heart. Jesus cleanses the soul of sin. Jesus makes peace. That cleansing occurs through the Holy Spirit. So Peter is saying, hey, they've received the Spirit, so there's no reason to withhold baptism. There's no reason to withhold the sign. And so they were baptized, Cornelius and his family and his friends, Gentiles. This is a huge moment in the history of the church. These Gentiles came to faith. These Gentiles were baptized. They now belong to Jesus. And they're part of the church. And the words that we read in the prophet Isaiah are coming true. The words that we read in Isaiah are coming true. Listen again to Isaiah 52, verse 7. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation." Peter is pointing to the one who has brought peace. And good news. He's the messenger who's pointing to the one who's brought peace and good news. He's pointing to Jesus. And finally, listen to verse 10 again from Isaiah 52. "The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." This was now happening. The gospel was for all nations. The gospel was for Gentiles. The gospel was to go to the ends of the earth for all to see and for all to hear about peace, that God shows no partiality. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your gospel, for the peace that Jesus brings, and that you show no partiality. We thank you that no matter what race or ethnicity or nationality we are, that it matters not. As long as in Jesus we are bowed before you, You will lift up our face. Father, you have blessed us richly by your grace. Help us to live as your children. Help us to live in fear of you and doing what is right. We know we can only do that by your help, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.